flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. In about 20 minutes, we're going to Palm Beach, or at least we're calling Palm Beach.
I like it.
Mark Zuckerman down there. Nats, pitchers, catchers, the whole nine yards. Spring training's coming, folks. Shout out to Scotty G. He put me and B on the YouTube up on the TV at his house, and he said Rooster blew out the speakers. If you missed any of our last segment with Chris Russell, you should.
It's a wild ride.
Yeah, man. That was a wild ride indeed. Right now, though, it's time for Ask B. Mitch Anything. Phones are open. Shout out to our folks down at Daytona. They got me and B on the side of their car.
I'm talking about.
I love that. Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, baby.
All right, B.
Yo.
My boy Gio is on the line. You see Gio on NBC4 and Telemundo 44. You've met Gio at Commanders games and everything. Gio, what up, bud?
How's it going, guys?
Good, brother. How you doing?
So, me and Gio had a debate the other night on our show. I'm going to allow him...
A bit of a disagreement.
I'm going to allow him to present this to you, and let's see how you weigh in. Gio Delfa kicks off Ask B. Mitch Anything.
All right, B. Mitch. So, yeah, JP and I were having a little bit of a back and forth, a friendly disagreement, because I asked him, do you think an average man, and we're saying average physically... JP is, we can say average physically. You know,
Gio started this by saying, JP, you're an average man.
All right.
I suppose I am.
Physically, perhaps. And do you think an average man physically could gain one rushing yard in the NFL if he had 10 tries?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes.
You think I could?
You got somebody blocking for you, so yes, I think in one.
I think I'd get killed.
No, you won't. Dude, if you're the average man... Running behind you get offensive line from the NFL? Yes.
All right, that's what Gio said. You took Gio's side.
There we go. Do you think it depends on the O-line or any O-line pretty much?
I think it's going to depend on O-line because if that average man don't see any opening, he's not going to run in that full speed.
Do you think Jeff could gain a yard in the NFL?
Hey, Jeff crazy enough to just go lower his big head.
And where do you draw the line? I mean, 1 yard okay, first down.
But no. See, the 1 yard is okay, but will he continue doing it after he get hit a few times? Or will he pack it up and say, I'm out, I'm done? And I think after he get hit one hard time by the likes of like a Ray Lewis or somebody like that, he's going to pack it up and go home.
The 1 yard call.
What if that offensive line just falls and that Ray Lewis is in the hole and you got to run straight through Ray Lewis to get the hole? I think that average man will stop.
Dude, I don't think the average person is getting a yard.
They could.
You crazy.
It's blocking. Like you, if you got the block and it ain't moving, then you can get the yard.
What do you think the chances
are? A lot of times NFL running backs don't get a yard with the O-line.
Sometimes they don't because that offensive line lost. But if that offensive line happens to move it a little bit, you can get it. You say, what's a body part being ripped off? They going to think someone's ripped off once they put a helmet on their side.
That was my point.
That was JP's point, yeah.
See, what JP is saying, the average person that hadn't done it is going to be so fearful that they probably won't even run in there. But if a guy played football at some level in high school or whatever, and he's running behind the right offensive line, he will slam it in there.
I played football at some level in high school, and
you played guard and tackle. That don't count.
I don't think I'm gaining a yard, dude.
Give yourself more credit than that, though. Seriously.
Gio, what are you up to, dude?
I'm on at the station. Yeah, I just really wanted to weigh in listening to you guys. I never played football. I regret not playing football. I didn't really get into the sport until after high school. So I don't know. I mean, if you gave me the ball.
You're a football man.
And then I just feel like a group of guys at the line of scrimmage. I don't know if I could run into the pack, really, and try to gain that yard. I don't know if I'd be scared after, you know, getting hit a couple times like Bemis just said. But once you get the yard, that's where it stops. I'm not going to, you know, try the other 9-8 times and then lose yardage.
Thank you for the call, brother.
For sure. Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy. Yes, Jeffrey. Jeffrey's standing over there like a took his blue chip.
No, I'm just saying, bro. The average somebody could get a yard. If you played football before and somebody from your team or around your area, if they made it to the league, 9 times out of 10, you got hit hard. 1 yard? Yo, I think if I had 4 quarters to run the ball, I'd leave with 10 yards.
I think you'd leave with an injury.
If I had 4 quarters, I'm leaving with at least 10 yards.
You might. Might be laying in a bed for the next 10 years. But
that don't
right.
matter.
I think people sleep on the size, speed, power, ferocity of NFL players. That's my stance. Gio, thank you, buddy. I don't know if you're still on the line. Let's go to Ben in Bethesda. Benny, what up? Ask me anything.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Hey, I'm headed out for the Rocky Mountains next week, and I know JP straps on the skis. I was going to see if B-Mitz has ever had a chance to go skiing out in the snow, and if he's a fan of it, if JP's ever dragged him out there. So.
I never snow ski, but I've water skied.
You want to go skiing?
I'll try anything. Once.
Bryce is a nice mountain. It's close. It's easy. It's a good place to learn.
I'll go learn before I go with you, though, because you just want to find a way to say you did something better than me. So.
No, I'm not like a speed demon. My boy Mathers, who has the house in Utah, makes fun of me because I don't like.
Once I learn it, then I will find a way to knock you off your skis.
I honestly would recommend. I don't know why that is necessary. But
it's fun.
I recommend everybody, regardless of age, like if you're just learning to ski, just get a lesson. So
I've been to a lot of ski, like to the cabins and all, and I just chill and wait for everybody to come back.
I know you. I can see you chilling.
Yeah.
The cabin with some brown liquor.
Hell yeah. By the fireplace.
Jeff, have you gone skiing? Like growing up, ski trips and stuff?
Yes, I've been to Massanutten. I've been skiing and snowboarding before. I like snowboarding.
How many times you fail?
Oh, man. My clothes be soaking wet. But I can
snowboarding, you fall.
I can snowboard pretty well now. Like I can stay on my feet from the top of the slope to the end.
Snowboarding, you fall constantly. It's fun, but it's a constant. You're just on your ass. Steve is in Manassas. What up, Steve?
Hey, B-Mitch, question. It's Valentine's Day for the wife. You guys going to listen to Teddy Pendergrass or Luther?
Ooh. What do you say?
The music, Valentine's Day for the wife. You guys going to listen to some Teddy Pendergrass or maybe some Luther Vandross?
We're not going that far back.
Oh, you're not? Where are you going?
I'm gonna be probably right here somewhere, you know. Just turn on any little thing and I go with it because I'm normally JP hates when I put on the radio, I put all my classic R&B on. I listen to some of that stuff when I'm playing golf. I like to relax, but at home I let her choose.
All right, well, you guys have a good day. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, buddy. I heard something last night that I was unaware
of. Turn him off. That's Teddy Pendergrass right there. Teddy Pendergrass, demand that thing.
Demand what?
Everything.
I had no idea that Luther was gay. I learned that last night. I was last night years old when I learned that. Did you know that?
That was the rumors, but yep. I didn't care.
I
love his music.
I also don't care. I just had no idea. I saw Joyce last night, and she's mad at you for not for telling her she needs a hobby besides the snowblower and mowing the lawn.
No, don't be mad at me. What's your father-in-law name again?
Lou.
Lou got a hobby. See, he out there doing it right. In other words, find another hobby.
Noel is in Chicago. Noel, what up?
Hey, how are you guys? Happy Valentine's Day to you, and always great listening to you. I just want to just ask this question, get it out of the way, so I can just have a peace of mind against my friend who's an Eagles fan. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think that we're going to bring back Zach Ertz, just sign him to a one-year deal, just bring him back for Jaden?
Yes.
Or do you think that we're – thank you. All right, because I don't want to draft another tight end. Because we already, because like we've got six picks only, he's thinking that we're going to draft another tight end. I'm like, no, we're bringing Ertz back, period.
Well, and they just drafted a second round tight end last year.
Exactly. We drafted Ben. We're not going to like, we're going to try to develop him still. He's convinced that Ertz is going to probably go elsewhere. And I'm like, you're lying.
You can't listen to an Eagle fan when you're talking about your team because they're not going to ever, ever agree with you.
It's very true. Very, very, very true. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Noel. Appreciate you, bud. Got people calling from all over. I think these are our guys in Daytona. Alex, what up, man? Ask me anything.
Hey, Alex.
Dude, I ain't got time.
Oh, yeah. Hey, how you doing?
We're good, buddy. How are you?
Oh, good. We got all the decals on the car. We got the right engine in there. And we're ready to go. Practice 130. We're rolling out right now.
So the question I ask is, how did you get the right engine when he had bought the short track engine?
You got to have some nice friends in the garage area.
I got you.
47 cars showed up, 7 went home, and they got spare parts. So we lucked out. We got all the decals on the car. JP's very latest tweet, you can see the picture. We posted it, a few of them.
Got you.
We can post some more, too.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, dude.
Thank you. Bye. That's cool. Valentine's Day, ask me Mitch anything. In just moments, we're going to go down to Palm Beach, check in with Zook at Nat's spring training. Mm. Question for you. Do you have any expectations for the Washington Nationals this summer?
I don't have expectations.
What are they? They spend any money? Like,
are they in a rebuild? Are they just doing?
I think they're in, like...
Just a doing?
Prison. Like, they're in this, like... I think ownership wants to sell, but they're clearly not selling. That's what they're the family's known for. They will set a price, and unless they get it, they'll do nothing. I mean, even, like, the fact that it's still Nats Park, and they never sold the naming rights, I think is indicative of they set a price and won't do anything beyond that price. I don't know. Let's look up MLB payrolls because I don't want to put Mark in a weird spot who's down there covering them and ask him, like, hey, they're probably going to suck again, right? That's not really the fair way.
Well, don't ask him. Just say, hey, how you think they're going to be? Bam. Then he decides how he takes it.
All right. So on their active roster payroll, they are spending $57 million, only three teams below them in all of Major League Baseball. I'm curious who the hell they're spending $57 million on. Is Strasburg's deal still on the books?
Probably so.
I guess this guy's in arbitration. I mean, dude, I think there are multiple players making more than the Nats' entire roster.
Oh, I know some people out there.
Like, what did Soto just sign?
Was it 700, 800, something million?
Yeah. I mean, dude, the Mets have a $320 million payroll. The Dodgers are at $311 million. The Phillies, $278. The Yankees, $258.
Didn't one of those teams in Florida with the lowest payroll went out and win the World Series maybe 2 years or something like that?
I think the Rays have gotten to the World Series. With the low payroll. And the Marlins have won 2 World Series, which is crazy.
Wasn't it a low payroll?
I know the first one wasn't a low payroll, but maybe the second one was. I don't know. I'm fired up for baseball season, man. Nats, it's always fun going to the park. O's should be good, too. Maybe I'll sneak in an O's question for Zuck. That AL East is just a beast. So is the NL East, man. Think about this. The Nats have the fourth lowest payroll in all of baseball.
Right.
In the NL East, the Mets have the highest payroll baseball. The Phillies have the third highest payroll in all of baseball. The Braves have the seventh highest payroll in all of baseball.
You still go beat them.
Okay.
That's what I say, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
Don't hold your breath. Talking Nats baseball next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff's in there talking about narcotics. I'm going to keep this show on the rails, all right? Right now, time to get down to Florida. I am very jealous of where Mark Zuckerman is. Palm Beach,
can't
baby.
Stand it.
Mark, what's up, man? How you been?
Hey, guys. I'm not going to complain to you about how hot it is or the fact that
what's the temperature, Mark?
Sunburned today. It was like 83 today, B. Mitch. 88 heat index.
Hold on.
I'm not going to complain.
Wait, where are you?
It's a little too warm.
Where are you? You're like outside of Tampa?
No, West Palm Beach.
West Palm?
That's the good life, man.
So I think I'm taking off next week. I'm going to Orlando.
Dude.
They got the little concert down there. I may go to the concert.
I told you I wanted to take Lauren and the girls to Florida this weekend, and Ainsley insisted on Great Wolf Lodge in Perryville, Maryland instead. That's just
such Sometimes you just got to make your own decision and say you're going with us. She'll get down there and love it.
All right. So, Mark, you are at Nat Spring Training. Is it just pitchers and catchers, or is the whole team down there yet?
So it's officially just pitchers and catchers. We've got a few more days until the position players are required to be here. But I'll tell you what, it feels like it's the full squad because there might be almost 20 position players here already. Probably a majority of the position players reported early, including a lot of the big-name guys. And that's nice to see. You know, they're not required to be here yet, but it seems like in a lot of those cases, they wanted to get a jump start on it. And so it actually feels, despite being just the second actual day of camp, it kind of feels like they're further along given how many guys are here.
That's cool. That's exciting. It seems like – get us up to speed on the Japanese dude they signed, Ogasawara. I'll let you tell me how to pronounce it.
All right. I believe I have it finally. It's Shinosuke Ogasawara.
Okay. Ogasawara.
What do we need to know here?
Shinosuke Ogasawara.
So, yeah, there you go. He flew in yesterday, got in late last night, and was out there first thing this morning for the first time as a major leaguer. He's 27 years old, left-hander. He's not the superstar, you know, Yamamoto and Sasaki, the guys the Dodgers have signed, or, you know, he doesn't have that huge following that the superstars have had. And, you know, he got a very modest contract. It's 2 years, $3.5 million. But he's 27 years old, left-hander. He's been an all-star in Japan. He excels at throwing strikes and being deceptive with his pitches, a really good curveball, a really good changeup, and he induces weak contact. Now, does that translate at the big league level? We're going to find out. You never know for sure. There are a lot of adjustments. I can only imagine what this is like for him coming over here and now trying to adapt to being on the other side of the world, communicating with everyone, and just learning how to pitch in the big leagues. You know, we were talking about it with him and Jim Hickey, the pitching coach today, all the differences. The ball is different. The seams are different here than there. The pitching schedule is different. They pitch once a week there. Here it's going to be every 5 days. You know, he was prepared to throw 80 pitches today in his first bullpen session, and they said, no, hold on. You're going to get somebody killed if you do that. Let's start with 40, which is even that is more than anyone else was doing.
Wow.
So there's a lot of work to be done about, you know, acclimating himself and getting into becoming more of a major leaguer in terms of the routine. So we'll see how it all goes, but it was exciting to see it. He's the first player, the first free agent the Nationals have ever signed out of Japan or anywhere in Asia. And so it's something that's been a long time coming, and I know a lot of people here are excited to see how it plays out.
Okay, he wanted to pitch, throw 80 pitches. We've seen some of these pitches come from Japan. They're unbelievable. Is that telling us that we're not working the people enough in the major leagues? Because we get a lot of guys that pitch very sparingly, and they get hurt a lot.
Yeah, it's a very different philosophy over there. They throw all the time. A lot more than we would have here. I think he said like he would sometimes throw 140 pitches in a game.
Damn.
Davey Martinez told him, there's no way you're going to do that here because I'll get fired if I let you do that.
Wow.
So they also, I think, a lot of cases, you know, don't throw with as much max effort as you have here. So he's not a super hard thrower. He's going to top out at 90 miles an hour. Now, the difference is, can you be effective like that here against these big, powerful sluggers that you don't necessarily have as much in Japan? And so that deception I was talking about, the ability to change speeds to keep the ball down in the zone and induce ground balls, that's all going to be critical for him to do it. And it's been fascinating from afar to watch this since I've been covering baseball. You've got these guys who show up here, and sometimes they are incredible from the beginning. I think Daisuke Matsuzaka, who was actually here today, he knows Ogasawara, and is kind of close with him, and he's now working in Japanese TV. He came here today to watch the first workout and interview him afterwards. I mean, he was lights out for the Red Sox for a couple of years, and then he never was the same after that. So some of these guys don't sustain it. Others are able to. Yu Darvish has had a very long, successful career. So it just kind of varies and depends on how you adapt to it. But it is very different the way they do it there versus here. I don't know which way is right or wrong, but clearly it's something he's going to have to learn how to pitch sort of the way that they expect him to pitch here.
Let me ask you the question. So we don't, they didn't make a lot of big splash in free agency and all that type of stuff. What are the expectations for the Nats this year?
Well, internally, they have set some pretty big expectations themselves. I think they feel like it's time to take that next step up, and that the last 2 years were about bringing the kids up, getting them some experience, and seeing what they have for the long term. And this is what everyone's been waiting for since the teardown started in 2021, and you've got a lot of them now here. Now, that didn't translate into more wins last year. They won 71 games again for the second straight year. Talking to guys here, the feeling within among themselves is that this now needs to translate into more wins, and they believe they're ready to do that. Now, did the front office help them out by adding enough veterans and quality free agents to supplement what they already have here? That's debatable. The moves they made, I think they made some calculated moves that are going to help them, obviously, but they did not make that big splash that a lot of us wondered if they might. The payroll is pretty similar, might even be a little bit lower than it was a year ago, Mike Rizzo admitted to us yesterday. So that's disappointing to a lot of people. But really, it was always going to be about the development of the young guys. If James Wood and Dylan Cruz and C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore and all the others, if they turn out to be great players and live up to the hype of who they can be, then this team has a chance to be successful, whether they went out and signed free agents or not.
Talking with our friend Mark Zuckerman here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Corbin is finally gone. That contract is gone. Obviously, it's about development. You mentioned Wood and Cruz. Are those guys starting from day one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they okay. are firmly penciled in as the starting left fielder and right fielder going into the season. I think that's the number one reason to be excited is we got a glimpse of it.
Yep.
Last year, more with Wood because he was up for about half the year, and Cruz was only about 6 weeks. That's what they're really pinning their hopes on. And, I think the pedigree they both have suggests that they're going to be elite players. And it's just a matter now of getting the experience facing big league pitchers, playing every single day. You know, James Wood was learning left field, which he hadn't really played that much in the minors. He was learning that on the fly. Dylan Cruz, I know the stats weren't great from what we saw from him last year, and then you keep reminding yourself he was in college like a year prior to that.
Right.
There was
a
super quick path to the big leagues. There's a lot of hopes for those two and feeling that, okay, now that they got their feet wet, they can sort of feel comfortable coming in here and take off and really lead the way. And they're going to play every day, and they're going to be batting, you know, if not second and third, they're going to be somewhere close to each other in the heart of the lineup to start the year.
Mark, of course, covers the Washington Nationals for Masson Sports. You can follow him on X at Mark Zuckerman. I get the season is about those guys and other young guys. What is this rotation? Like, they kind of surprised us in the first half of last year, I think. The Nats were probably better than a lot of folks expected. And a lot of that was because they got good pitching. What does their rotation look like now? You've got the article out right now on MassonSports.com. Kind of looking at what the rotation could be. We were the foremost Mitchell Parker radio show in this town. I was like, yo, a big lefty?
Yeah.
I'm all for it. He might not even start again, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have depth they have not had here in a long time, if ever. I mean, even in the years where you had Scherzer and Strasburg and Gio Gonzalez, and those were clearly better rotations than they have now, but they typically just had the five guys, and if anybody went down, they didn't necessarily have that somebody you could call up from the minor leagues to step in and fill that spot. What they have now is seven, maybe even eight, that they feel comfortable with. Now, maybe they don't have that elite guy at the top. They hope Mackenzie Gore develops into an ace. They like what Jake Irvin did last year. But between Parker, DJ Herz, who also as a rookie last year was impressive, the new kid, Ogasawara, they re-signed Trevor Williams. They signed Michael Soroka, former Brave, for $9 million. You have that group. And then you still, at some point, hopefully have Cade Cavalli, a first-round pick from a few years back, who's finally, it appears, ready to come back from Tommy John surgery. Eventually, later in the season, Josiah Gray hopes to be ready to come back. And then they've got a couple more pitchers in the minors that are going to be at AA and AAA that they're talking about, like, could be close to knocking on the door themselves. So, obviously, there's only room for five. They also know that things happen. You're never going to get through a season with five starters. And so they feel really good about the depth that they have. even if it's maybe not as elite at the top of the rotation as you'd love to have.
How difficult, though, for this Nats season? The NL East is just crazy. I mean, three of the top 10 spenders are in the division. The Mets obviously add Soto, which just kind of breaks my heart, but whatever. What is the path to some sort of, maybe it's a wild card, but even like August and September with meaningful baseball?
Yeah, they're going to have to be better within the division, of course, and it's a brutally tough division for them to be in right now. I think they proved last year they are ahead of the Marlins, so they at least have that. And they actually played the Braves well. They had a winning record against the Braves last year, which was something that I think meant something to a lot of the guys in there. The Mets and the Phillies, they still were well behind in terms of head-to-head competition. They're going to have to close that gap somehow and play them more competitively. The good news, I guess you want to look at this way, with the expanded playoffs now, you get three wild cards per league, and it would be tough to pull off, but I think it's happened once so far. You could have three wild cards all come from the same division. So in theory, say the Phillies win the East, the Mets and the Braves could be wild cards, and there's still another wild card spot to have if you can get up there. You're going to have to beat up on the Marlins. You're going to have to do well against the teams from the other divisions. The West is tough as well with the Dodgers and the Padres and the Diamondbacks, so it's not an easy path at all. I think they would love to find themselves in the position come July where they are at or slightly above 500 and kind of lingering around in that realm, and maybe then you can convince the decision makers at the top of the organization to make some moves, and instead of trading away guys at the deadline, maybe you're finally acquiring them to make a little bit of a push. They would love to find themselves in that scenario. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Doesn't mean that it's a lost season if they don't get there. But I think that's the path right now if you're trying to, you know, concoct a dream scenario where it all comes together this year.
How far away from being contenders, man?
Well, a lot of people hope that it might be this year. It maybe is another year away from that. We need to see, do these young stars, like we talked about, are they who they're supposed to be? Does C.J. Abrams come back and play like he did in the first half last year when he was an all-star and just an incredible all-around shortstop? Can Luis Garcia do what he did last year? Is Keibert Ruiz able to be the franchise catcher they need him to be? And really, it is, I think, about the pitching. If Gore pitches like an ace, if Irvin is like a good, solid workhorse number two, and if somebody else from that group steps up and gives them a chance to win, I think they're going to be in a decent position to win a lot of games. Now, my biggest concern right now, to be honest, is the bullpen, because they non-tendered Kyle Finnegan, decided not to bring him back. They didn't think he was worth $8 or $9 million they would have to pay him in arbitration. And they have not really replaced him as a closer. They've signed a few guys to lesser deals. They don't really know who their closer is right now. There's still time. There's a bunch of free agents still available, including Finnegan. I feel like they're going to sign somebody here in the next week or two, and hopefully that helps shore that up. But to me, there's nothing more demoralizing for any team than you got everybody that does everything right for eight innings and you take a lead into the ninth and somebody blows it. That could be heartbreaking for a young team that's trying to learn how to win close games. So I hope they address that, because I do think that's a glaring need right now.
I'll never understand, or I fear that I understand far too well, the Finnegan decision-making. If you're not going to trade him, like, if you're not going to keep him, then why didn't you trade? You know what I mean? And my fear on that is that Mike wasn't really in charge of those decisions. How is Riz? Like, how are Riz and Davey spirits-wise at this stage of a extended kind of rebuild?
You know, I think you're always going to be optimistic on the first couple of days of spring training.
Sure.
If you can't be that, then what's even the point, you know? They know they have more talent, young talent, than they've had here in quite a while. So they're excited about that. Do they wish deep down that they had been able to reinforce the roster a little bit more? Yeah, I think they do. But they also understand they can only deal with what they have at their disposal. And so they're really excited to see this young group and know that there are still more coming. You know, Brady House is a top pick, the third baseman. We may see him within a few months. If not, you know, if he's not ready opening day, it might not be long after that. Like I said, Cavalli at some point they think is going to be pitching for them, and some others that are in the pipeline. So I think they feel optimistic about it, but they also know the reality of how tough the division is, as you mentioned, and the fact that at least at the moment they're still competing with a payroll that's not on par with the top teams in the division, and honestly not on par with the way this team operated for, you know, almost a decade.
Right.
In the 2010s when they were contending every year.
They used to spend. I saw it with my own eyes.
Yep.
Mark, thank you for your time, brother. Enjoy
Appreciate
Florida.
All
right, thank you guys.
Hi, buddy.
Mark Zuckerman, give him a follow at Mark Zuckerman, Z-U-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. Does a great job covering the Nats. Has done it for a long time. Nobody better at that gig, man. When we come back, there is a big sports weekend on tap. Nobody go anywhere. Whipping a belt around, just saying belt to ass, belt to ass. What they did, I mean.
They did it.
When you do it, you get
you
to
can't say nothing about
walk
it.
Around and act
did.
Like that, I suppose.
One finger salute.
One finger salute, Jeffrey.
Hey, Jeff, you're learning now, huh?
What do we think the temperature is in Philly for this
cold
parade? 38 and sunny. That's doable. Those folks been drinking since 6 a.m. They ain't worried about the cold.
Six. They probably didn't go to sleep last night.
I just said something to Brian. We've been doing radio all week. And I'll be honest with you, the first week after the Super Bowl is a big adjustment for our program because football's over.
Yeah.
And there have been times where we could use a topic or two. I completely zoned out that the NBA All-Star Game is this weekend.
Well, you didn't zone out because I haven't seen anything being promoted.
Is anyone? There's five of us
Did
here.
You know, Jeff?
I found out this morning, actually.
But I'm saying, normally you see stuff promoting around the – the league, or you see stuff on different
channels.
I haven't seen anything.
They were only talking about it. Yeah, they were only talking. I caught a glimpse, and it was like, yeah, the 3-point championship, three-point contest this week. I'm like, it's All Star Weekend already.
Where is this? San Francisco.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
What?
It's kind of wild.
Bay Area.
Everybody going out there.
Is Willie going?
I'll call him and find out.
There are five of us, ages ranging from. White Brian, you're in your 20s, right?
Is that the Golden State Warriors thing?
Yeah.
Because that's right around the corner. We walked to that from his house.
White Brian, you were 27 or something?
Yep, 27.
Okay. We got 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. We all identify as sports fans, right?
Who the hell in the 50s?
40s then, fine.
All right, yeah.
We all are sports fans on this show. None of us were aware of the damn All-Star Game.
At all.
That is a problem. The NBA All-Star Game used to be the best.
But they don't promote their... Look, we look at ESPN, the whole show. I never knew that it was the All-Star Weekend. Because when you're like, it's a sports weekend, I'm like, JP, with some of that BS again?
The big sports, honestly, the game I'm most excited for this weekend is Bama-Auburn. What do you think is going to happen? Your boy's going to take it down?
I think they can. It's going to be very close, and I'm scared Bama's going to shoot well from three at home.
All right, White Brian, give us the betting results for the week.
B. Mitch won at 4-2. JP, you were in second at 2-2. Landfill went 1-3, and I went 1-2.
Y'all garbage. And Jeff was 0-4.
Four.
When is a good time to tell White Brian that I root for Bama? Now?
Hey, Jeff, like CJ Gordon Johnson, belt the ass.
It's always next week.
Let's hope Jeff gets his car back. Everybody's rooting for Jeff. Find Jeff's car. If you're on these streets, help Jeff find his car. Thank you to everybody that listened today. Happy Valentine's Day to all. Thank you to Jeff Ehrman. Thank you to Pete Prisco. Thank you to Mark Zuckerman. Grant and Danny coming your way next. Bama, Auburn tomorrow. Maryland, Iowa Sunday. Daytona. Apparently the NBA All-Star Game still exists. Do they still do the slam dunk contest? Because that's been ruined too. Who's in it?
Mack McClung.
Who?
Mack McClung.
McClung might win it.
That's all he's good at. Remember, he was at Georgetown and transferred to Texas Tech? I don't even think he's on a roster.
He wasn't even on a roster. They put him on a roster just so he could do the slam dunk.
They give him a 10-day just for the slam dunk contest.
Wow.
We got to go. Made it this far. White Brian owes you a beer.
All right, everybody. It's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.